Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Yeah, this past Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection together. Wasn't that just an awesome week? Awesome weekend. And the wonderful thing about it is even after the celebration, we get to continuously live in the resurrection and in all the power that Jesus gained whenever he conquered death on our behalf. We remember the Great Commission. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me, so I'm commissioning you to go and to make disciples, telling people about him, teaching them all that he's commanded, baptizing people in his name." And that gets me excited. I guess I'm the only one, but that's all right. Thanks for coming out again as we've had our time of celebrating and we continue to proclaim the message of who Jesus is. And tonight we're starting a new series on our Wednesday nights. For the next several weeks, we're going to be exploring this concept, these topics of friends and family. If you were around Central last fall, you remember a series that Pastor Jim did as we were going through our core values. And one of our core values as a church is linked arms, being able to stand together with one another. And it comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, where Paul writes, "From the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And when each part is working properly, Jesus, the head, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Whenever we're standing together with linked arms, we're fulfilling our purposes. We're doing our part as members of the body of Christ. And whenever each person is doing the thing that they can uniquely do, using their gifts and their talents, they're building up everyone. Everybody benefits. It's like whenever we're working out, and you all know, whenever we go to the gym every morning, right? And we're working out, we're building up specific muscle groups, and we're working out specific muscles, and you know, working our arms or working our legs, but our heart is also getting exercise. Our lungs are also benefiting from all that we do. The whole body is getting stronger and healthier and working together for the benefit of every single part. And the body of Christ is just like that. And whenever we're standing with our arms linked, we're standing in community. And community takes a lot of different forms. And through it all, we recognize the power of with. I don't know if you remember that from the sermon last year. That was one of the profound things that Pastor Jim said, the power of with, the power of standing with one another. And that means that we're serving each other. And we're growing together as each member does their part. And we're also working together for that mission, that great commission that Jesus has given to us. And these types of community that we have within the body of Christ, they take different forms. And that's why the series is all about friends and family. Because community, it can be family. It can be our family members, our biological brothers and sisters, moms and dads, aunts and uncles. Can also be teams that we work on together, groups that we're a part of, whether it's small groups here at the church or community groups, interest groups that we may have with other people that share our interests. And community also takes the form of friendships. And tonight I just want to share some biblical reflections on the idea of friendships. Because the Bible actually has a lot to say about being friends and the benefits of having friends and what it means to be friends with someone else. And friendship, it's a unique form of community because friendships can be as deep as family. There are some friends who are as close as brothers and sisters, and sometimes there are friends that are even closer than their family relationships. But you might have heard the phrase, "You can't choose your family." Have you, any of you ever heard that before? You're kind of born into it. It's something that's given to you. You don't really have much of a say in who your family is. But friends, that's entirely up to you. That's a choice. That's something that you choose. And the Bible recognizes that choice, and it recognizes the importance of making that choice wisely. Proverbs is filled with passages that tell us about how our friends develop our character. Our friends can pull out purposes and strengths and aspects of our personality that are hidden deep inside of us. Our friends can help shape our character and craft us into a type of person and send us on a trajectory for our lives. It tells us that wise friends will help us grow in wisdom. Foolish friends? Well, not so much. And even warns about wicked friends that will produce a crop of wickedness in our lives, and we want to avoid that. Proverbs warns us about friends who, people who claim to be friends, but who are just attracted to things like money or power or status. And there's this continuous instruction to choose wisely when you're choosing your friends, because they're going to have a profound impact on your life. Choose wisely. But if we're choosing wisely, the implied point in that is that we get to choose. Our friendships, our friends, they are a matter of choice. And just like with any choice, making a decision, it also takes action. It requires some kind of effort that goes into it. And whether we're making new friends or nourishing the friendships that we already have, there's effort that's required. See, I want to talk a little bit about nourishing our friendships. It's easy if we say, you know, that we make friends to kind of think of it as almost like a manufacturing sort of thing, that like we apply this formula and then a friend pops out. But that's not how it works. Friendship and all of that, it's very organic. It just begins to grow as we find people that we share things in common with, find people that we enjoy being around, and that we want to spend time learning from and sharing life with. But anything that's organic, any living thing, it requires nurturing. For example, Esther, my wife and I, hi Esther, you're on break from the youth tonight. You snuck out. All right, that's good. You get to sit down and not chase children. So that's good. But my wife and I, we have a plant. We have one plant. We are not good with plants. So we decided to get one. A few years ago, we bought a succulent, and we just wanted to give it a good chance of survival. So as soon as we brought it home, we named it Chuck Norris. And our hope was that all of the toughness and resiliency of the real Chuck Norris would inspire this little guy so that he could survive living in a house with us, unlike all of his predecessors. And so we have this one plant, and I'm happy to say that so far he's still alive. As of today, he's still green and growing. But we have to nourish him. We have to give him water. We have to make sure that, I'm calling it a he. We have to make sure that Chuck Norris is getting sunlight. And every once in a while, we'll refresh the soil to make sure that this plant is getting the nourishment that it needs. And that's how it is with all living things. Those of you who have pets or even kids, you know this. You have to water them and give them sunlight. You have to feed them. You have to nourish them. You have to care for them and watch over them so that they're healthy, so that they're growing, so that things are going the way that they ought to. That's the way it is with our friendships. See, it would not do at all for Esther and I to come home and just say, okay, we have a plant, and then put it on a shelf and never think about it again. And we got to be careful that we don't treat our friendships that way. They need nourishment. They need a little bit of effort, a little bit of mindfulness, so that they can flourish. Because when our friendships and our relationships are healthy, every part of that friendship grows stronger. Every person connected to that relationship will benefit from it. So tonight, I just want to share a few thoughts on ways that we can nourish our friendships. But before I do that, let's pray. Father, I thank you for our time together, and I thank you for the many friendships, the many families, the many teams and relationships that are present in this room and that are represented by the people in this room. And Lord, I just pray that as we read from your word together tonight, as we hear the principles that you are making known to us, let us see ways that we can live out your truth in our lives and in our relationships so that they can grow stronger, that they can be centered on Jesus Christ, and that every person connected to us in relationship with us, Lord, that we can help one another grow into you, into maturity, into purpose and strength and health in Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So the first way that I'd like to present that we can grow and we can nourish our friendships is simply to be present. Be present. Like so many other things in life, the first step, the first thing that we have to do is just show up. Just be there. And we see this principle at work in John chapter 15. In verse 15, when Jesus is addressing his disciples, getting ready for his own crucifixion, he knows what's coming. And he says this fascinating phrase. He says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends." And these were people that had spent the better part of 3 years with Jesus. Going back to the power of with, they were with him in his ministry, in his travels, all of his teachings. They were witnesses to his miracles. He had empowered them and sent them out to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And they were with him. They knew more deeply, more accurately than all of the crowds that had followed Jesus what he was all about, what his character was really like. They knew the message that he was preaching. They knew the mission that he was sent on, even though they didn't yet fully understand all the implications of it. But they were with him. And that presence helped them to know him so deeply, so well, to the point that they began to become even more like him. And that their character, their destiny for their lives began to be shaped by who Jesus was, by who Jesus still is. And being present, that's a necessary ingredient if we're going to nourish our friendships. But it's more than just physical proximity. It's more than just being physically near somebody. Think about this. Maybe about 15 years or so ago, if you were to go to the one coffee shop in Springfield, the Mud House, and you were to walk in there, I'm telling you guys, it's truth. There was one coffee shop. And you were to walk in there, you would look around and, you know, you were meeting a friend and it would be hard to find a table. And even if you found a place to sit, you had trouble talking to the person that was sitting just across the table from you because the entire room was filled with the noise and sounds of conversations as people were chatting and telling stories and laughing together and just sharing life. But if you go there today, you still might see just as many people, but it's a whole lot quieter because everyone in the room has one of these in front of their faces. Now, when I talk about being with someone, that's not what I mean. It's possible to be physically present, but to be somewhere else. And in an ever increasingly always online, smartphone-driven society that we live in, focused attention is so valuable, and it's so important. And whenever we give that kind of attention and that kind of care and that kind of focus to another person, we're showing them how important they are and how the things that they value matter and how who they are as a person has significance. Whenever we're with someone, we need to practice really being with them. learning how to listen, learning how to be present, hearing the things that they're talking about and sharing with them our own hopes and dreams, our own desires, or even the mundane things that we've done throughout that day. We need to learn to be with people. And as I mentioned, part of doing this well, it just begins with showing up. Tomorrow night, we have our bad bowling night. How many bad bowlers are here? I'm keeping my hand up. In fact, I'm raising both of them because I'm putting the bad in bad bowling. But it's going to be a great time. We're going to have fun together. We're going to have fellowship together. Hopefully, we'll make some new friends. We'll nourish the friendships that we have. We'll make some memories. But we got to be present to do that. And we can't just stand back and be an Instagram observer, you know, taking pictures or taking videos. We need to be active participants. We need to be in there having fun with other people. That's all part of being present, being with others, and not just physically in the same room, learning how to participate. The second way that we nourish our friendships is by being honest. Being honest. And obviously, I mean, we shouldn't lie to our friends. Any kind of relationship, friendship, it's based on trust, and there's honesty that has to be there. So that should go without saying. We should not lie to our friends. But by being honest, I mean more than just not lying, all right? Maybe we could put it in this way. We need to be open. We need to be vulnerable. We need to be truly honest about what's going on in our lives. There's a passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 9. You can read with me on the screen. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. They're with each other. They're working together. In verse 10, if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We all face troubles or struggles or trials, problems that can be too much for us to conquer on our own. Sometimes we need somebody who can come alongside of us and help us regain our footing when we fall. Sometimes we need the extra strength of somebody to help us move an obstacle out of our path, whether it's a literal obstacle that's in our driveway or a metaphorical obstacle that's blocking us from moving forward in life. Sometimes we've run out of our own strength and we need to borrow some from somebody else. And Ecclesiastes says, feel sorry, pour pity out for that person who is all alone whenever these troubles come on him and he has nobody to help him out. But if I'm not being honest with my friends, if I'm putting on a face that says I've got it all together and everything's going great and I'm doing well on my own, when I'm really facing those kinds of problems, then how am I any different than if I had no friends at all? See, when I am not honest about what's going on in my life, I'm actually taking away the opportunity for other people to fulfill one of the purposes that the Bible says we have friends. I'm not giving them the chance to put their love on display. I'm not giving them a chance to come alongside me and to help me out. Now, that doesn't mean that every conversation that I have with somebody needs to be like a mini therapy session where I'm just telling them everything that's wrong and wanting them to feel sorry for me and all of that, because if I do that, then I'm just taking. I'm not ever giving anything back, and that's not healthy either. But whenever we come to our friendships with honesty, with real life, it nourishes our friendships. It fills them with a stronger level of trust that comes from that kind of vulnerability. It gives the other person a chance to put their love on display. And it gives us the opportunity to welcome somebody else into our life in a deeper way. Whenever that relationship grows, whenever it's nourished, all of us benefit. Being truly, fully honest whenever we come to our friendships, learning how to risk those deeper connections, it will help them grow stronger. And I know that sounds a little scary, especially if you've been burned before, and believe me, I know what that feels like. I remember a time several years ago when Esther and I were coming out of a church planting opportunity. It was our first ministry experience out of college, and it did not go well. And that's a whole other message. It did not go well, and coming out of that, we had some friendships that had been really, really wounded. We had some trust that had been broken, and we had to decide, are we going to put ourselves out there? Are we going to be vulnerable? You know, because we have the option, we've both been to Bible college, we don't need to go to another church. We could do Bible studies in our apartment. We can just kind of stay together and know that we're not going to hurt each other. Or we can risk connecting with other people again. And we made a decision to do the latter. And the friendships that came out of that have nourished us ever since. The rewards that come from friendship, the blessings that come to our lives from friends are well worth the risk, even if you've been burned in the past. Take time to build trust, but don't run away from it. We have to be honest so that our friendships can thrive. And the last third item that I want to mention tonight, to nourish our friendships, we need to be present, we need to be honest, and we need to be committed. We need to be committed to the relationship and to the person, to our friend. We need to be there for them whenever things are hard. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Whenever our friends start going through those hard times, you know, we've already been honest with them. We need to welcome them that they can be honest with us as well. And not be afraid that we're going to leave them high and dry. Whenever the times get hard, we're like, you know what? I was born for this. Let's do this. We can take this on together. I'm not going to leave you alone because I know that if I'm facing this, you've got my back too. When we're committed to that friendship, when we're committed to that relationship, we're there for each other in the hard times. That means we need to be generous and not just with our money, all right? We need to be generous with our care, willing to give counsel whenever they need it, willing to give time when that's what they need, willing to give help when it's in our power to give it. We need to be generous with any comfort that we've received from others. There's this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to read it real quick. It says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." See, God comforts us in our trouble, but he often does it through other people. He often does it through our friends. Remember the body of Christ? Building each other up, the power of with when we are together. And this is the awesome thing, that others who have been comforted by God then take that and they know what it feels like. They've got a well of it inside of them, and then they can give that comfort to us whenever we're going through hard times. And then whenever our friends begin to suffer, we can take the comfort that we've received from God through other people and share it with them, and then the cycle just keeps going. And our friendships are nourished in that process. They grow stronger because we're being generous with all of the good things that God has given to us, and we're sharing it with others. Isn't that awesome? I like that. That was cool to me. Sharing comfort, being generous with the good things that God has given us, restoring each other, showing grace to one another, being very generous in the forgiveness that we give to each other, and being willing and honest enough to ask for forgiveness whenever we've hurt somebody. That makes trust stronger. We know that nobody's perfect, but whenever we hurt or offend somebody, if we go to them to make it right, they're going to be more likely to trust us in the future. We need to be generous with patience and with understanding. Many years ago, I heard this proverb: seek to understand before you seek to be understood. Strive to understand the other person and where they're coming from and what they're going through before you begin to demand that they understand you and all that your needs are. And if both people come doing that, there's going to be mutual understanding. And both parties are going to get stronger. The friends are going to be nourishing that friendship. And they'll be better able to stay committed to one another whenever those difficult times come. Because, guys, it's in the hard times that growth happens. It's in strong winds that trees' roots grow deep. It's in the drought seasons that the roots grow even deeper in order to find the water. And then whenever the storms rise up again, those trees can stand strong. Works a similar way in our friendships. In the hard times, growth happens. And it makes us better able to withstand anything that comes at us in the future, as well as to keep giving that comfort, being generous with that help whenever our friends around us face times of need. These are things that we can bring to our friendships, things that we can give to our friendships in order to nourish them, to make them thrive, and so that not just we can grow stronger, but our friends can grow stronger in Christ as well. Because if there's anything better than being on mission for Jesus, it's being on mission with a friend, knowing that you have one another's back, that you're looking out for each other, that you're lifting each other up in prayer, and that you'll stand with each other no matter what comes against you. So I just want to kind of leave us with those three thoughts, and there's so much more. There's such a richness that the Bible teaches about friendship, and I encourage you to continue studying on your own, and there's a lot of books out there if you want to dig deeper on this topic. But we can continue growing and nourishing our relationships with one another. And being a friend, it's not just about what we can gain from that relationship. It's also what we're willing to give. In that same chapter when Jesus called his disciples his friends, in verse 13, he said this famous verse, that greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Our love is seen when we're willing to give. We're willing to put in that work, put in that effort to see our relationships thrive. We live in a world where real connection, where real friendships are getting harder and harder to find. I've seen this working with some of the college students and even among high schoolers, putting the phone away and not having that digital mediator between them. Asking them to have face-to-face conversations, it's like, you know, putting them in a foreign country where they've never learned the language and saying, you know, I want you to become mayor of the city or something crazy like that. It's daunting, it's terrifying for this new generation. But I think we can model it well for them. And I think that there's mentors that can teach them by example how to be good, true friends. Proverbs goes on to say, don't forsake your friend or the friend of your father when tough times come. So our friendships need to be nourished so they can reach and expand across generations. There's an urgency for that, guys. We get to be a part of it. I just want to leave these thoughts with you tonight, thinking of ways that we can invest and nourish our friendships by being present, by being open and honest, building trust, and by being committed to seeing it through, even during the hard times. And just as the golden rule says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Let us be the kind of friends that we hope others will be for us. Well, tonight we'll open up the altars just to have time for prayer. If you'd like to spend some time with Jesus, we'll